let's keep chatting. it's hard to get there, though.
Look, it is hard to get there, but at least you've got to start asking those questions around how do I turn up? How do I find my voice?
Mm.
How am I going to engage? How do I? I've got 5 seconds to disarm resistance.
Mm.
Like, what do I actually do? How do I even turn up before I get into that message?
I hear you. Wow. And you're not going to find voice, structure, message, and heart. Actually, where are you going to find it?
Jim, you're going to find it when you start to disarm yourself. You start to let go of all those shields and all those facades and veneer, you know, all of that tension that we carry around. Because when you're carrying around all that tension in your body and your chest and your shoulders, you're never going to find voice. You're going to find a version of you.
Mm.
And we've all been there, and we've all had to carry armor around. I know we touched upon that topic previously, but geez, I mean, what's the role of the leader or the change agent unless they're willing to sort of ask themselves, what do I sound like? What's that resonance and tone of me? Because I'm going to sound like a lot of other people.
Not many people doing, do you know any many people who are doing that work? Because it's very personal, transformational work. I mean, there's a lot of like corporate group work. There's a lot of organizational change work, you know, where professional development at scale. There's a lot of that sort of stuff happening. But do you know of any people doing that sort of very individual, personal, intimate work in solitude?
Well, let's define work. I mean, work is quiet time, inquiry, reflection, breathing. Maybe writing something down and saying, you know, what do I need to...
Journaling.
Yeah, journaling. What do I need to let go of? Maybe meditation, maybe yoga, maybe hiking. I don't know. Like, what's that place that can actually take us inside so we can start to, you know, clear the cobwebs and start to part the trees a little bit to come back to what matters and where are we? But I guess that inner calibration work, if you want to call it calibration or coming back to your own compass or your own principles.
Mm. I'm sure a lot of people are doing that, and I think that's really important. That's the work, isn't it? You know, that's the very personal work of leadership that is often unspoken.
It's unspoken because most people are playing the tension game. So when they're carrying around that guard and tension, with right intention, because the world isn't always that safe. You know, walking into environments, corporate structures, cultures, it's not always, you know, we're not always free to be ourselves, are we?
Mm.
I mean, you know, the world can be pretty dangerous sometimes. Yeah. An office can be dangerous.
Mm. It can be very toxic.
It can be very toxic, and there's certain behaviours that people push up against. But then that's also the work. Do you know what I mean? Like, being able to exist in those cultures and those environments is reality. It's the real world.
Yeah, of course. And dealing with that complexity, dealing with that toxicity, and finding a space in yourself that can cope with it.
Yeah, because people are where they are.
Mm.
You can't judge them or make them better or worse just because they're behaving in a certain way. I mean, the reality is you have to deal with everyone, but that's also your work.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. How are you?
Mate, I'm good. I've had a sort of one of those topsy-turvy weeks where sometimes you've just got to not do anything. You've just got to stop.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. What about
it's
you?
Very aware of you.
Not always. A little bit fried first 2 days, and then everything I'm doing right now, just call the jets and just slow it down and just come back.
Yeah. Oh, I've had a challenging week. Yeah, it's a bit of a roller coaster, but, you know, nothing that's not too manageable. You know, I think I always go back to common sense to deal with those sorts of things, like you just explained, you know, those very simple things that allow you to cope with dysfunction and chaos and toxicity. You sort of roll back to those common sense, very grounding principles, which are really wonderful, really human. So that's my week's been a little bit challenging, but I've certainly coped with it really well. But yeah, I've spent 3 weeks sitting on a Greek island, so I can't really complain. So that's been really nice, a nice sort of centering experience.
Well, mate, talk about how you reintegrate back in the world. How do you come back in after a holiday like that? Most beautiful country with family on a magnificent beach, eating fantastic food, and then you've got to come back into this world.
Back on the treadmill.
Back on the treadmill. Well, how's that transition? How do you do that transition from holiday to work?
It was a little bit of holiday. It was spending time with family, of course, and friends, and then a hell of a lot of just meeting partners and people that I know over there. And so it's a bit of a mashup of a lot of things, but I wasn't just sitting on the beach for 3 weeks. I wish I was. Right. Yeah, the transition is difficult, especially when you come from a place of connection, a place that, you know, really centers you and is part of your origin and your, you know, your cultural identity and your very human and personal identity. That transition is very different from going to somewhere that you've just picked. You know, you've thrown a dart on a map, so to speak. You know, coming home from Greece and, you know, leaving my family there and having that experience of visiting friends and family there and connecting with them, that transition is really difficult. You know, it's very steeped in excitement and wonder, but also sadness and a little bit of sort of melancholy, because, you know, it's your family and your connection and your sense of belonging is over there as it is here. So, and that's a really interesting thing that I was thinking about while I was away. I was actually thinking that I'll just bring it up randomly in a conversation with you, like I will just now. This sense of in-betweening, where we, yourself and I, we're children of migrants and we're born here in Australia, but we have this sense of belonging to two places. And that's both a blessing and a curse. You know, it's very much a wonderful, wonderful thing to know, you know, to get off the plane in Athens and walk out of the terminal and feel like you're going home. That's a really wonderful, wonderful feeling. And it's just as wonderful to get out of the terminal at Melbourne Airport, work your way through all the cigarette smoke out the front, jump in an Uber and go home, right? That's just as wonderful. And that's really precious. I'm very grateful to belong to two places. So the transition for me has been reflecting on this sense of in-betweening and belonging. Not so easy in a nutshell.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you and I speak about that between two worlds. I think it's a great, you know, it's probably a great way to talk about it, to frame it, because it's not easy, but it's also important to go back there, isn't it? Just to ground yourself.
Yeah.
In your roots.
Absolutely. Oh, it's incredibly important to find identity, to connect to your story, whatever that is, wherever that is, to go back to that sense of that place of starting, that place of beginning. It's really wonderful, really wonderful experience. And, you know, I was really grateful to have done that over the last few weeks with my family, because we haven't traveled there since pre-COVID. And no, it's really special. It's really wonderful and special to just be in that space, be in that place and be with those people.
Is there one, there's probably so many things that have come up for you since you've come back. Is there one thing lately that's sticking out for you? Is there one thing? Is it the food? Is it the dialogue? Is it the, I mean, I know it's all of that, but is there one thing that you're craving?
No, I really love this sense of, and I wrote about it recently, this sense of, there's this sort of cultural thing that we have as Greek people, this sense of philoxenia. It's a word that doesn't really have a parallel in English like many Greek words and other languages don't. It just means to be very much open, to open your home and the pantry and your kitchen to a stranger. And it is very much about welcoming the stranger. And I got that in all the various aspects of interactions that I had while I was over there, whether I was, you know, bumming around a beach or walking into a restaurant or cafe or meeting a business partner, meeting family, this sense of philoxenia, this wonderful welcoming of a stranger and this obligation to say, we're not going to have a, you know, half an hour coffee and a discussion and then piss off and go to our next thing. We're going to take our time. We're going to engage in dialogue. And what's the fucking hurry, right? Order something. I'll make you something. And I'll cook something. And we're going to enjoy it together. And we're going to sit in this experience together, whatever it may be. Even if it's a difficult conversation. Even if it goes nowhere. Or it might go somewhere. Or if it's a family gathering, whatever it is, this sense of philoxenia, this welcoming of the stranger in all aspects. And it's not just the thing with family. It's in all aspects, this really wonderful cultural nuance. I feel a sense of absence in my life here in Melbourne. You know, you can argue that, of course, yes. but you yes. can certainly argue that. But I just really experienced that en masse over there with everyone I met, even strangers, you know. And that was really wonderful. That's really wonderful. And it left me thinking, Damien, why or how we might actually reframe the way we look at leadership and how we look at the spaces we create and the interactions we have at work with our partners and ensure we have those cultural principles, not just words on a wall, not just words in a document that sit in a folder somewhere or boxes that are ticked, but cultural, very personal cultural change that embraces ideals like this, and there are many others, ideals like this that open your heart and your home to welcome a stranger and take your time to engage in dialogue, conversation, debate, discourse. It leaves me wondering.
It's a huge question. I can certainly relate to coming back from Europe and parts of Croatia and coming back here, and it's almost this visceral hypertension that you're walking back into. You know, the machine, the rat race, the treadmill, you know, the expectation of a big city and the need to perform creates this tension. And when you've almost got this tension within the fabric of the culture that permeates everything from the way people are at cafes through to the way they have lunch in the city. Mm. It's just this constant sort of tension. And you won't realise that tension until you go to a beautiful country like Greece. Mm. And you'll realise, well, there's not this hypertension. And so people there, they are going to be present and they do these natural values around community, engagement, dialogue, the simple exchange of food, a conversation, and they're like, dude, what are you rushing for?
Mm.
And it's almost like we have to slow ourselves down to come into that culture, which is probably present, open.
Mm.
There's such strong family bonds, friendship bonds, community bonds. And I love this idea of welcoming people into your home. But when you don't have all that hypertension, you're going to come back to a human being, which is connection with others. You know, even we're in Italy in 2019, and even men, the way men talk to each other, they hold hands, so they look each other in the eye, and they have these beautiful exchanges.
Mm.
And it's just like this relaxed, calm exchange over these espresso.
Yeah.
And you said that at a service station.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the I don't know if it was like in the Southern Balkans, but in Greece there's this two-cheek kiss, right?
Yes.
Male or female, doesn't matter, you know, any gender. And that's the welcome.
Yes.
Know? And it's wonderful. You know, and this embrace, this opening up and come here, like, you know. And
yeah.
Even when you're meeting someone, like, just, you know, it's just really wonderful. It's really special. And this sense, that's what I think if, you know, to answer, go back to your question, you know, what am I left with thinking? If I was to pick one thing, it would be certainly that, this intrinsic, ingrained cultural nuance, this cultural trait that I experienced there, and I've experienced it many times, this sense of philoxenia, which is, again, it's a trait that my parents used to talk to me about and drum it into my sister and I. It's just welcoming a stranger. And that does come from a country that has a huge and centuries-old refugee experience. I've got friends whose parents are refugees. I've got friends who are refugees. I've got grandparents who were refugees from Asia Minor. And so that refugee experience, it runs through all of our cultural identities. I've got a friend who was born during an occupation and had to leave her home, you know. So that sense of welcoming the stranger, welcoming the refugee, the foreigner, the tourist, right, the Greek Australian who isn't necessarily, you know, born there, that is really wonderful, this sense of welcome. And it exists in the corporate world, right? And yes, there are assholes everywhere, right? Let's just be frank about that, right? It exists in the corporate world. And I experienced it in the corporate world then. It's really wonderful. And I feel really driven to uncover it. And in the coming weeks and months, we're talking to a whole bunch of partners of ours and clients of mine and yours. And it'll be a nice way to really unpack and uncover these ideas with them as they, because they are leaders of organizations, and really to understand how it could possibly manifest this sense of welcome. I don't think you'll experience a lot of pushback on this concept at all.
No, and I mean, it's probably got me thinking as you're talking about the different cultures that where our ancestors originate from, these notions of community, connectedness, presence, awareness, this welcoming the stranger. And there's one theme that keeps coming up time and again, even recently some work I've done with some extraordinary gentlemen in the space of voice and theatre and plays, this notion of tension.
Mm.
You know, you experience a different type of tension overseas in Greece and Croatia and some of those beautiful villages. And when you come back into some of these big cities, you get this sense of heightened tension, armour, guard.
Yeah, scaffolding. Armour,
yeah.
And scaffolding, yeah, all, yeah. Around you.
Yeah, you're right, and realistically some of that is necessary, yeah. Because it's not always safe to show people exactly where you are. That's the reality. I mean, I know Brené Brown often talks about this concept of vulnerability with boundaries.
Mm.
Which is, yeah, you've got to drop your guard, but just really be mindful of where you are and be aware of your circumstances. That's okay, and that's important. But I'm just thinking about the absolute importance of leaders to understand, to have tools to move through their own tension, because until they can do that and they can know how to disarm it themselves, it's almost impossible to engage people at a beautiful, deep, visceral voice level.
Yeah, I completely agree. And even to be aware of that armor, like you said, sometimes it's necessary, right? I mean, you need it.
Yeah.
You're human beings. And that armor sometimes looks like a suit.
Yep.
You put it on. It looks like a certain way of dressing, a certain way of just turning up into the world, right? Yes. Speaking. Yeah, you need it. But even just simply being aware of that is really important to be able to change others, to be aware that you need armor, to then dismantle it and then lead that change in others, don't you think?
Well, you've got to know your own armour. Mm. You've got to know what you're hanging on to before you can call anyone else out. And that's part of the work. I mean, you and I often talk about the work with, the work of the change agent, the work of the purpose-led leader, the work of holding diametrically opposite views and understanding how to bring people into a space who you don't agree with, the work of dealing with incredibly strong resistance that we're experiencing in the culture at the moment, the work of not dehumanizing anyone, regardless of what their background is, and knowing how to hold space. But that's almost impossible to do when you have your own armor up.
Yeah,
because people don't see you. You're not showing them who you are. You're showing them a version, and that's probably the prevailing paradigm, isn't it, at the moment? A version of you.
Yeah, so true.
A version of your voice. A version of how you turn up.
Yeah, so true. But that's what travel does, doesn't it? It allows you to see these things because you're kind of stepping away. You're stepping away into another place that is uncomfortable. It's different. You're not in your normal routine. And it allows you to kind of see your world and the world through different lenses, through a new filter, and allows you to then diagnose. I mean, if you're open to that. If you're aware of that, I guess.
Or if you even want to ask those questions, which is that sort of inquiry piece, isn't it?
Yeah,
what actually matters? Where am I at?
Mm. Yeah, one thing that I think travel does do for me every time I go overseas or anywhere really, it certainly does that, puts up new lenses for me to look through, but also allows me to reflect on what I expect from my life, from my business, what I expect from friendships and what I'm willing to put up with or not, what I expect from partnerships and clients and what I'm willing to put up with or not. It allows me to sort of really see those boundaries, and adjust them and also be finite around them as well. Say no when I need to say no. And I think stepping away, and I want to move away from travel for a bit, because I want to talk about something in a sec, but stepping away into an adjacent world, into a different world than norm, allows us to kind of see those things, allows us to reflect on those things, to sit there, whether you're sitting on a beach or wherever you are, think, all right, what do I expect from, what am I willing to put up with now? You're right. And that's important.
Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it? You know? Sort of you get that perspective when you're outside of the, you know, that kind of that machine or that all those machinations. And so you can step back and say, what's important, what matters, what am I willing to put up with, what
are
my boundaries are for me?
Yeah, because I kind of, you start thinking, you think to yourself, I like this version of me.
Yes.
Right? I'm okay with this. Yeah. You know? So if I'm okay with this, why aren't I okay with this in that world? How do I then transpose that? What boundaries do I need to set? What parameters do I need to set? And that is a they're healthy questions, because you sit there and write those parameters down or mental model them and be aware of them as you enter in, go back into and transition into that other world.
You know, it's we spoke about something the other day. I recall when you and I caught up. You don't go on a 2 or 3 or 4 week holiday to get away from life. That's insane, and that's how we can fall into that hole, that trap. We work our butts off, and you have a 2 or 4 week holiday just to get away from the machine. That's almost insanity. The 2 or 4 week holiday is a time to get perspective and say, well, how do I integrate back in the world, and what changes do I need to make, or what am I willing to stand for? Because that's not a way to be, is it?
No, not at all. No, it's about, you're going to try and discover what you're, who you are, what you're willing to put up with, what your story is, you know, connecting to your story. Like, I feel very connected to my cultural identity coming back from Greece, and actually inspires me to dig into that even more than I did before. And each time I go there, I feel closer and closer to it. And I need more experiences like that to move myself closer and closer. My children even feel closer to their cultural identity because of that. And that's really important. It's really special, you know. I wanted to ask you, speaking of stepping into adjacent worlds, like traveling somewhere, you've done something recently, and I know we're going to talk about this in a future episode, but I just want to dig into it lightly here. You've done something recently where you've stepped into an uncomfortable space, the world of, is it acting or voice?
Yeah, acting, theatre, play,
acting and theatre.
Mask work,
right. So that's really fascinating to me, because that's very similar to what we were talking about. You've stepped into this adjacent world. So before we dig into that, how does an adjacent discipline or an adjacent world, how does that become really important for our personal growth as leaders in our industries, in our organisations? Why is it important to step? I'm not talking just go on a holiday. I'm not talking about that. It's actually go to an adjacent place, something that is vastly different to the world that you're in today.
Jim, I think it's not just important. It's essential. It's fundamental to your own development. And whether it's perspective, whether it's hiking, whether it's putting yourself in an incredibly challenging and uncomfortable situation where you get to explore how you turn up in the world through theatre and play, voice work and acting, or whether you go on a long track, or you know, some kind of a shortened pilgrimage with a group of people and sit in meditation, or whatever your thing is. Yeah, everyone's got a different thing. That's fundamental to your own personal development and growth, and it should be uncomfortable. It should make you feel awkward. It should push you. But it also should be a beautiful opportunity to come back and do that exploration around, am I being me? How am I turning up in the world? What actually matters at this point in time? And to be able to do that with good people, to be able to do it with people that can hold those spaces, I think that exploration and play is fundamental. And it does. It's irrelevant how old you are. It's irrelevant where you are in your career. It's just an ongoing thing where the work you do on yourself within these parallel spaces, whether it's a retreat, whether it's a hike, whether it's overseas meaningful travel, we've got to take ourselves out sometimes and say, like what you said before, what's my perspective? What's my body telling me right now? Am I being true to my story, and what's my next chapter look like? And you're not going to do that on the treadmill. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, on the virtual treadmill.
No, not on the virtual treadmill.
That's right. Yeah, and you've got to step into discomfort. You've got to get out there and continually, and not once. It's got to become habitual almost. You've got to get out there into uncomfortable spaces, don't you, to just see how you react, to learn how to react.
Well, it is an uncomfortable method, because it's the discomfort that will bring up the tension.
Mm.
It'll bring up the edges. And then it's like, whoa, this is where the work is.
Yeah.
I'm feeling awkward. I'm feeling uncomfortable. I'm feeling tense. I'm having a transition from this place to that place. And all of a sudden, it's going to bring up these beautiful areas to look inside and say, what do I need to let go of? What's getting in my way? What's the next step?
So why did you choose the acting in theatre as the world to step into to experience that?
I've always had this fascination with exploration, voice, play, the body, how we turn up. And, you know, I've had a really good friend, a good mutual friend of ours that's really encouraged me over the years, who's got a background in theatre and play production. And, you know, it was finishing off a program with Emma down at the Melbourne Actors Guild. Big shout out to her. And we're going to get her on to one of our episodes. And she encouraged me to work with these two magnificent gents, Fabio and Buddy, who do Fitzmaurice voice work. And it was started by a lady by the name of Catherine Fitzmaurice, who's one of the most globally recognized voice coaches. And she does this amazing work around the world with performance people, storytellers. And really the question is how do I release my voice? That true, deep, visceral, authentic voice that sits way down in the diaphragm, deep in the gut. How do I move through all of that tension? And almost deconstruct those years and years of socialization, of corporatization, and find out, well, what the hell do I sound like when I let go of that stuff? And what I came to realize, Jim, and it's the old shift from the head to a heart Joseph Campbell would talk about in The Hero's Journey. Was it the 7-inch shift? Don't quote me on that. And you can't make that 7-inch shift until you're willing to really just delayer all of that armor, that tension, and then you'll start to hit those tones. And it was awkward, it was difficult, but it was some of the most transformative work that I've done. And mainly because we had such great facilitators that could teach you how to move through tension, bodily tension. Where do you hold your stress and your tension? How do you start to move through that? And we talk about the absolute, I'll say, the dire need of leaders to do this work right now in this kind of global chaos that we're living in. If they're going to bring others along on these big change journeys, which is something we need more than ever, whether it's geopolitical, structural, whether it's to do with climate change, how are we going to teach or show leaders this craft or this art of finding out what do they actually sound like? What's their true voice when you rip off all the corporate veneer and facade? And how do they reveal themselves to others if they're going to bring people along on these really difficult but necessary change journeys? That's the ongoing question I've had my whole life is, what's the role of the change agent? How do we what is the work, and how do we bring other people along, and teach them to move away from this fear and trepidation of polarity and into connection, community? That was always the narrative that's been running through my head around all of this work.
Yeah, amazing. Can you give us people are listening. Can you give us an example of one exercise that you did that really pushed you out of your comfort zone or actually brought up that tension for you that you're really uncomfortable with?
We spent a lot of time, I know the guys will explain this when they're on our next episode, we spent a lot of time working through the tension in the body. We do these very stretches and holds, and it's also called tremor work to start to release kind of almost years of pent up tension.
And that's with your voice. You just
with your body,
and right.
Your voice. A lot of sort of sighs, a lot of groaning, and you know it's their version. And also, we've spoken about when they do yoga, when they talk about yoga or anything like that. The body's meant to growl. The body's meant to sigh. You're meant to make noises. You're not meant to bring up more tension in your body. You're meant to just release.
Yeah.
And your body has a way of talking to you. Your body talks to you when you're stressed.
Mm.
Your body talks to you when you're tired. But we shut our body down. So they're saying, well, embody those words. Embody what's coming through you. It's no longer in your head. It's coming through the heart. It's coming through the gut. It's coming from that deeper place within you. And we spend a lot of time just deconstructing and de-layering that tension, and in many ways, some of that could be. We spend a bit of time doing meditation
as a group.
We start with a meditation. We have this beautiful version of, excuse me if I'm getting the pronunciation wrong, the Suksang, which is that exchange of dialogue between people. It's almost like a prayer. It's like what we do it yeah, how are you, Jim? What's coming up for you? How's your week been? It's that beautiful exchange of dialogue. And then we go into a meditation and then we do a lot of stretching, a lot of breathing, a bit of tremor work. And it's all designed to start to shift out of the head and into the body.
Yeah, wow.
And so...
How did you feel when you were doing that?
I don't have words for it. It was probably one of the most transformative experiences. Even when I came home, my wife was laughing, going, who the hell just walked into the door? Look at his smile. What the hell? She was laughing, going, who's going to turn up every night after I've done this work with Fabio and Buddy?
How amazing. How amazing. You've got to, I mean, you're a special kind of person. You're very open to that in the first place.
Yes.
Right? So the leap for you into that adjacent world is easier. I wouldn't say it's easy, but it's easier than the average person, the average leader out there, right? So, I mean, how does someone even just be open to doing something like that?
I think, you know, this thing comes up time and again. Often when we take people on learning journeys, there's this thing called openness and curiosity as a key principle. Mm. That shit's got to matter too in your life. Mm. You can't just say, yeah, I'm open and curious. That's a lot of bullshit. You've got to ask yourself, can't you? Yeah, well, yeah.
Put it on your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, I'll do it in a, I'll often do it with a workshop and I'll say the importance of openness and curiosity. Everyone says, yeah, it's really important. I said, well, let's just wait a minute and really ask yourself this question. Am I really curious? Does learning matter to me? Does growth matter to me? And is that something that's a central part of my value set? And if that matters to you and you think that you're on this planet to grow, learn and evolve, then you will naturally gravitate towards those activities. But if it doesn't matter to you, you won't. And But I'll guarantee you, Jim, if it doesn't matter to you, dude, you're gonna shut down, you're gonna get sick, and you're gonna get stressed. I don't care what anyone tells you. If you can't cultivating openness, curiosity and creativity is just an essential part of what it means to be a human being.
Yeah, that's an important question, is how are you already cultivating those things that you say you are?
Yeah, because
they're going to manifest themselves somehow in your life.
Well, what's the opposite of that is? Dogma.
Mm.
I know everything. Don't tell me anything. You know, those fixed, hard views.
Or I'm too busy to worry
about. I'm too busy to worry about that shit.
I'm spread thin, right?
It's just, what are you doing? Theatre work. This is crazy. Yeah, which is, what would you do that for?
Another way of saying, look, I'm just too important for this shit, right?
I'm too important for this shit, but I'm just going to sit there and binge Netflix for 4 hours just to detune after a hard week.
Yeah, because I put in 12 hours at my desk.
Bravo. Yeah. Well done. Awards.
Into the mic. How amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. And you do, I agree with you. You have to be cultivating those things. You know, I'd be certainly open to something like that. It sounds really wonderful. And I'm very comfortable getting uncomfortable. I actually, you know, there's certain things I won't do. But I'm comfortable pushing myself in certain arenas. And I sometimes need it. You know I need it, you know.
Well, that's, I mean, you know, I know you've got this half marathon coming up and that's almost a version of that, isn't it?
Like, well, very much so.
You know, you're gonna do stuff that you haven't done before.
Yeah, that's right.
What does that look like? But what happens when we don't do that? What do you think's going to happen when you don't put yourself in those spaces? Dude, you're gonna switch off. You're going to be a zombie. You're going to shut down and all that tension's going to come right up to your throat and chest.
Yeah.
And you're going to overdrink, overeat. Whatever the addiction is, or overconsume,
that energy is going to go somewhere.
It's going to go somewhere.
Yeah,
and that's your body trying to tell you, dude. There's this beautiful kid inside of us that wants to always explore, that wants to play, that wants to dance, or sing, or play the fool, or whatever that is. And don't we need more of those people?
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. And you know, it's that little kid who wants to run the half marathon, right?
Yeah.
That little kid was very unfit.
Yes.
Right, in me. And our episode about discovering the little kid a couple of months back now, yes, very much hit the nail on the head. You know, so I'm really looking forward to it. I'm fucking nervous, right? Yeah, I was telling our friend Ryan about it this morning, who's run a gazillion marathons, and I was telling him about it this morning, and you know, he just said, drink lots of water, enjoy the process.
Yes.
You know what to do, and I do. I know what I need to do. No, but it does, and I'm enjoying being nervous. You know, it's part of it. It's part of running it, actually. So I look forward to it. I think it's good. And I think you need that entering into discomfort. You need to be nervous. It needs to manifest itself. Otherwise, it's too comfortable.
Yeah.
Right? It's far too comfortable. If you're not nervous and you're not thinking, oh, shit, what am I going to do? I hope I'm not running at 3 minutes per kilometer for the first 3 kilometers and then gas myself out. I've got another, I don't know, 20 odd to go. You know, those nervous is good. Nervous is a sign that you're doing the right thing.
Nervous is change.
That's
nervous
right.
Nervous is growth.
Yeah.
Nervous is starting to like shed old skin.
You got the words right out of my mouth. It's shedding old skin, and the only way you're going to shed it is by going through that door.
Right? So how do we cultivate a life like that? If we're really curious about growth, if we're really curious about learning, if we're really like, you know, that's going to be the question. At least we're asking. If we're asking that question, we're going to end up somewhere. If we think that that's important to our own human development as a person on this planet, and we want to talk about legacy or whatever we want to leave behind, I mean, it's how we impact others. It's how we bring others along. And so, if we're not working on ourselves and putting ourselves in all these crazy spaces and inspiring or provoking or agitating, then I don't know, man. What are we doing?
Oh, look, I agree with you. And to answer that question is, I think we're doing it here, right?
Yes,
you and I. You and I doing this podcast, we're, I don't know, over 30 episodes now. And, you know, this is a moment of discomfort for us where, you know, we're sitting on mics, recording our voices and putting it out into the world. Not everyone does that,
no. You
know. We're relatively comfortable doing it. We're doing it for a while, but we're still doing it, you know.
We're still turning up.
We're still careful with what we say, you know, and we're putting our points of view out in the world. And that takes, I think, a little bit of courage and a little bit of grit. Right. So I think that you have to practice it in the things you do. You can't just sit in that lane and be comfortable and safe. You know, I've got a friend, actually. I've got a few friends, but one in particular who is an absolute gem, Vanessa. She's fucking remarkable. She's started this art practice. She works in marketing, etc., and account management strategy. She's always been this budding artist. Stepping into that world has always been uncomfortable. She stepped into it over the last couple of years and she's absolutely killing it. Right? And when I say absolutely killing it, she's found complete joy in this world of discomfort, which was first of discomfort, but then it's this comfortable uncomfortableness.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
You know, like this is for us. Yes. It's this comfortable discomfort.
Yes.
You know, and I feel immense joy when I think about her experience, right? Because it's a case in point of what we're talking about, is to find this area that you've questioned, oh, should I do it? Should I do it? You know, it's too uncomfortable to even think about, you know, it's too stressful to even think about. And she's done it. And I've seen her over the last couple of years just sort of really step into it, maybe even longer, last 3 or 4 years. Just really step into it and cultivate this practice and continue doing it, this beautiful art practice. It's wonderful. And she's just blossoming into this new, completely different person.
Wow.
So you've got to be able to step into it and you've got to go through that door to shed that skin. That's really important.
And how, I mean, even the joy, the inspiration that you have by talking about her story, now you've infected me.
So. I light up when I think about it, you know, and I have no part in it. And she's just a friend of mine, right?
Wow.
I think it's just inspiring, it's remarkable, and, you know, I have another friend, Marita, one of my colleagues, who we'll be talking to in a couple of weeks. She's the same. She has this, I don't want to talk too much about Marita because we'll get her onto the show. She has this other world that is really remarkable, and when I think about that, it absolutely lights me up. Can you imagine how it makes her feel?
Yeah.
You know? It's amazing.
And so aren't we on this planet here to inspire, provoke,
that's
challenge,
right.
push, pull, whatever that word is, aren't
and,
we?
And
we
lift here? Others. And
lift others into those spaces and show them or let them know it's okay to do that exploration.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt. What's up for you next week?
I reckon decompression this weekend, so I'm just going to use this word, cool the jets.
Cool the jets.
Cool the jets, get some nature. And I'm really excited to be on a new content journey with some writing that I've been doing
around
the work that I do around that sort of leadership, resilience, agility.
Can you talk about what that is or you want to park it?
I'll park it. But, basically, Jim, we've got 5 archetypes that we do in our work and I'm going to start to write this sort of content journey that follows each archetype. So, it's just something that I want to give out to the world because I'm incredibly amazing. Passionate about. So, yeah, and the work that I've been doing with Fitzmaurice Voice with Fabio and Buddy's really unlocked a different level of creative expression, writing, content, and it's allowed me to shift in a really good way from my head to what my heart space to what mm-hmm. my body wants to say in the world. You know, the pen, letting the pen write.
Yeah,
so I'm really chuffed to start to kick off that off. Yeah, what about you?
I'll answer that question in a sec. Yes. Someone said to me, everything starts with writing.
Yes.
Just put a pen to paper or, a chisel to a stone,
Brilliant.
Everything will start with writing. And I think that's a really good place to go. What am I doing on the weekend? I'm seeing my father and my family, my sister and her family, which I'm really looking forward to just sort of recap on our trip and the families that we caught up with. I'm running a half Melbourne half marathon on Sunday, which I'm really looking forward to, and I'm nervous about. I've got a water bottle, which has actually gone through two of those today, and I'm looking forward to engaging with our future guests. We've got Marita Davies, my colleague, who's an amazing storyteller. She's just one of the most remarkable humans.
We've got Reg coming up.
Reg Crawford part two, which is...
it's going to be great.
I think one of our really most enlightening experiences on this podcast and longest episodes too, actually. My friend Elizabeth's joining us, who's a remarkable leader and a really great mentor, client, friend of mine, Andrew, who I think you're absolutely going to love. Awesome. He's just another, they're all just beautiful human beings. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, fantastic.
Good chat, Damo.
Yeah, good to chat.
Hi, I'm Damien Carolla. And I've been playing in the human development and high performance space for a few decades now and run a coaching practice called Mentor Hub. And I work with entrepreneurs, athletes, CEOs and leaders on the topics of change and transformation, leadership and culture. And what's central to my work is that we create safe, empowering and inspiring spaces for people to realize their potential. And I work with leaders and organizations across a diverse range of sectors, from building, construction and technology through to retail and social enterprise. Lately I've been collaborating with leaders and teams around the topics of mental resilience and agility. We use a lot of storytelling, open dialogue to help leaders and teams redefine what it means to build resilience and flexibility across a chaotic world. I believe in the power of the human condition and that each one of us is here to realize our full potential. And so Fearless Conversations is a series of dialogue sessions where we get to peel back the layers and really explore the things that matter most. It's a conversation between two good friends that care deeply about people and the worlds in which we live.
Hi, I'm Jim Antonopoulos. Actually, my name is Dimitri, but we'll get into that another time. I'm the Managing Director of Strategy and Transformation Consultancy, Tank. We're based in Melbourne, Australia. As one of Australia's earliest B Corp accredited businesses, we work across a number of impact areas on change and transformation programs, empowering young women, sustainable and affordable housing, financial literacy for underrepresented communities, accessible quality education, meaningful workplace cultures, and cultural diversity and inclusion being some of them. My team and I bring empathy and meaning to impact organisations, and we believe that every business and every leader can be good, ethical and purpose-driven, or at least that should be. Most importantly, I'm a father of three amazing people, and I work tirelessly to leave the world in a better place for them. Our podcast continues thanks to your support. Listeners like you who have shared our podcast with your networks on LinkedIn and other social platforms have meant the world to us. It has motivated us to continue doing what we do. If you would like to support this podcast and keep it free of advertising forever, please head on over to marchfirst.com.au/podcast, where you can donate to support our show and share the link with your friends and network.